Now we'll continue our worship by hearing from God's word. The scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, from the ESV version. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege it is to hear it together this morning. Lord, would you open our eyes like Bartimaeus, that we might see the truth of who you are, the truth of who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what our response should be. God, I pray that you would work now by your Holy Spirit in me, that my words would be yours, Lord. We give you this time now and simply ask that you would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. It is so good to see all of you this morning and to be together like this. We're returning today to the Gospel of Mark, the series that we've been in together since last summer. And it's the series where we've been forced to ask those three questions time and time again. Those questions of who is Jesus and what did he come to do and what our response should be. And our passage today is no different. It touches on each of these three questions, although today it's really that third question that's going to be our focus today, of what our response ought to be. And the reason that that's going to be our focus today is that Mark, the gospel writer, has really focused in on this man, on Bartimaeus, and has shown us his response to Jesus. And so I pray that just as Bartimaeus received eyes to see that day, that God would give us eyes to see how he responds to Jesus, and that his example would actually teach us something about becoming a disciple of Jesus. The sermon today is titled "The Way of Discipleship," because Bartimaeus shows us how to get going on that way. So let me ask you the question this morning. Are you on the way of discipleship? Are you following Jesus? Let's take a look together at this passage and see whether and how we might be. Starting together in verse 46, if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to follow along with me as we read this passage. In verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho." And just to give us a little bit of context here, Jesus and his disciples are traveling from Galilee in the north of Israel to Judea in the south. And specifically, they're going to Jerusalem. The reason they're going to Jerusalem is that it's the time of the Passover feast. And so they, along with thousands of pilgrims, are making this journey to the holy city where they will celebrate this feast together. But actually, that's not the only reason they're going to Jerusalem, because you see, Jesus knows that he's going to Jerusalem for something even bigger and more important. He's going to Jerusalem to lay down his life In fact, the very last verse that we read before today's passage, a couple of weeks ago when Chad Herzog preached, it says in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is going to Jerusalem to give his life as a ransom for many. He's going there to die. And as they're on this journey down to Jerusalem, the next stop is Jericho. Jericho, 17 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And Mark doesn't give us any information about what happens in Jericho. Instead, he jumps right ahead to what happens immediately after they leave. Continuing in verse 46, "And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." This is the scene. So what do we know about Bartimaeus at this point? Well, we know, number one, that he is blind. And friends, in that day and age, in a society and economy where for the vast majority of people, their ability to earn a living depended upon their manual labor, this was an extremely crippling disability for this man. He was blind. And not only that, he was a beggar. He had to depend upon people's generosity, people's goodwill, the passersby, in order to get enough money to buy food. He was very poor. And that's why he was sitting beside the road. It was where he could meet the greatest number of people in hopes of getting a few coins here and there, enough to survive. So he's blind, he's a beggar, and he's sitting beside the road. And in summary, friends, he needs help. Bartimaeus needs help. And he knows he needs help. He needs to be healed. He needs to be restored. And that brings us to verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" You see, he heard that Jesus was coming and immediately responds by crying out to him, which shows us that he had known something about Jesus before this point in time. He knew something about who Jesus was, so that when whoever was with him noticed Jesus coming, maybe there were a few people by the side of the road, they saw him coming, maybe they thought he looked like Jesus, and they whispered or maybe shouted, "It's Jesus, he's coming." So Bartimaeus immediately responded, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this way of addressing Jesus as Son of David, this title that he's just given him, it's very specific. And it actually shows us the first thing that we need to see today about the way of discipleship. And that's this. Remember that Bartimaeus' response to Jesus as a whole, as we look through this whole passage, his entire response to Jesus is going to teach us about discipleship. And there's 4 points that I'm going to give you today, 4 ways that Bartimaeus' response teaches us about the way of discipleship. And the first is this, that Bartimaeus believed in Jesus. Now that sounds extremely simple. So what do I mean by that? This term, the Son of David, it's very specific, and this is the first time that it's used here in the Gospel of Mark. And it makes reference to God's promises to King David in the Old Testament, going all the way back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Chronicles chapter 17, where God promises to David that he would establish the throne of his kingdom forever through his offspring. So quoting from 1 Chronicles chapter 17, 11 through 13, God says to David this, "I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." So, God told King David what he would do for one of his descendants. The prophets also foretold that one day this descendant would come, this anointed one, this descendant of David who would be the Mashiach, the anointed one. In Hebrew, that's where we get the term Messiah, or Christos in Greek. So when you see the word Christ in our New Testaments, that's not a name, it's a title. He is the Messiah. they refer to this chosen son of David, the one who would come to rule over the people in righteousness and justice forever. And that is how Bartimaeus addresses Jesus, son of David. And it's the first time anyone does so in the Gospel of Mark, son of David. So what do I mean by saying that Bartimaeus believed in Jesus? I mean that he believed in the real Jesus. He believed in the prophesied Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. Not merely in the good teacher Jesus. Not merely in the miracle worker Jesus or the prophet Jesus. He believed in the Son of David, the King Jesus. That's who he believed Bartimaeus. That's what Bartimaeus believed Jesus was. And it's important to note this because many people believed back then, just as many people believe today, some things about Jesus, but maybe not believe the whole truth about Jesus. Some did believe he was a good teacher, and that certainly was true, but he's a lot more than a good teacher. Some believed he was a miracle worker, and that was true, but he's a lot more than a miracle worker. Some believed he was a prophet, and that's true, but he's a lot more than a prophet. He is much more than that. And in our own culture today, we see something similar as people pick and choose which aspects of Jesus' life that they like or his teaching that they want to agree with while ignoring or even outright denying others. But it doesn't work like that. You see, Jesus doesn't come to us and say, hey, which aspects of my teaching do you want to ascribe to? Which aspects of my teaching are convenient and comfortable for you? No, he comes and says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. He says, I'm the king. Either I'm the Lord of your life or something else is. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed in the true Jesus. And this is where becoming a disciple starts. It starts in faith, trusting in who Jesus says he is. And he says he's the Messiah. He says he's the promised king, sent from God to seek and save the lost, to forgive the sinner, to redeem the captive, to set the prisoner free, restore the broken, and reign over a heavenly kingdom that starts now and goes on forever. That's who Jesus is. And John in his gospel puts it so clearly when he says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life, salvation, is by faith. Becoming a disciple begins in faith. And how beautiful is it that this blind man, Bartimaeus, though he couldn't even see Jesus physically, yet he could see who Jesus was truly. And he believed that he was the Messiah, the rightful king. So Bartimaeus believed in Jesus. This is the first thing he has to teach us about the way of discipleship. And we're going to go on now to the second, which is in verse 48. Verse 48. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Twice now, Bartimaeus has said the exact same thing. Son of David, have mercy on me. The second thing that we need to see is that Bartimaeus begged for mercy from Jesus. This is the second aspect of discipleship that he teaches us. We saw earlier the first thing is belief, and now the second thing is begging for mercy. He knows that he needs help, and we don't really know a whole lot about this man, do we? We don't know where he's from. We don't know much about his family other than his father, Timaeus. We don't know if he ever had to work for a living or what. We don't know much at all. What we do know is that he's blind, and as we mentioned earlier, this would have impacted every aspect of his life. He's blind, he's poor, he's begging, he's beside the road, hoping that someone will give him something. He knows he needs help, and he asks Jesus for it. Humbly, he comes to him and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I need your help. Notice what he doesn't do. Okay, he doesn't come to Jesus in pride or arrogance. He doesn't come with any kind of sense of entitlement or deserving something from God. No, he comes humbly, recognizing that he is powerless to improve his physical condition. He needs the mercy of the Lord if he's going to have any hope at all. And I wonder if we have realized our powerlessness to improve our spiritual condition before God. Now, this story in Mark's gospel is clearly dealing with a physical miracle. I don't want to lose sight of that, okay? This blind man's eyesight is going to be restored. This is a glorious miracle, and it is good. Jesus is able to give sight to the blind. Praise God. But did you know that in the Bible, blindness is often a metaphor for one's spiritual condition before God? It's often used to convey one's distance from God or even rejection of God. We mustn't conflate the two conditions here, because Bartimaeus is dealing with the physical condition and the mercy he asks for is for physical healing. But I believe that this passage shows us a principle that it connects to both the physical condition and the spiritual condition. The mercy that he asks for is physical healing to regain physical eyesight of his physical condition, but we can see that in the same way he asks for mercy for his physical condition, we can ask for mercy for our spiritual condition to be healed and restored. You know, the Bible doesn't pull any punches when it comes to the spiritual condition of humankind. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. It says that you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, Ephesians 2:1. It says, "For the wages of sin is death," Romans 6:23. Our spiritual condition apart from Jesus is very bleak indeed. It's sinful, it's rebellious, it's self-serving, it's even dead. As sinners, in order for our spiritual condition to be restored, we need the mercy of the Lord. So, what does Bartimaeus do for his physical condition? He begs for mercy. And this has an application for all of us, anybody who would be a disciple of Jesus, appertaining to their spiritual condition, that we must do exactly what he did and ask Jesus for mercy. Physical ailments, yes, of course. Jesus cares about our bodies and the sicknesses and the disabilities that we have. But Jesus didn't just come to heal the body. He came to save the soul. We need his mercy for the forgiveness of sins. And this is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus, one who has recognized their desperate need for deliverance and salvation, and who has come to Jesus empty-handed, like we sang earlier, empty-handed, nothing to offer him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Bartimaeus begged for mercy. That is number two, and now let's go on to number three. I'm going to read the rest of our passage, verse 49 to 52. It says, "And Jesus stopped." And just stop there for a minute. How beautiful is that? The Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, on his way to Jerusalem, was willing to take a moment and stop and meet with this blind man and speak to him. He stopped, verse 49, and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The third way that we can learn about discipleship from Bartimaeus is that Bartimaeus is healed by Jesus. Now, we need to be very careful here, because there are some today who proffer a false teaching that Jesus will virtually always heal, no matter what, physically heal the illnesses of his people. This is a damaging and destructive false gospel that offers a false hope, false restoration that can be experienced only in the here and now. I'm not saying that Jesus will not heal or cannot heal. Of course he can and he might. But to offer it as a promise that can be claimed by faith, if you just believe enough, if you just pray enough, if you just give enough, if you just serve enough, if you just worship enough, if you just do, then God will do for you. Friends, it doesn't work that way. And how crushing it is when you do all the things, and yet the disease persists, or the disability isn't healed. God can certainly give sight to the blind or heal the sick. But the reality is he may not. He may have a bigger purpose in mind that we don't see in the moment. But if we were given God's eternal, perfect perspective, we would see the good that he's working through all things for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So what we do see here is that Bartimaeus does receive this physical healing. God does grant him, Jesus does grant him to be healed in this moment in time. And he receives that physical healing. And just as we saw the principle of him asking for mercy for his physical condition, applying to us asking for mercy for our spiritual condition, so we can see that Jesus granting him physical healing can teach us something about our spiritual healing. Let me put it this way. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, your body may not be healed, but your soul most assuredly will be. Let me unpack that a little bit. I want to tell you about a woman named Fanny Crosby. Anybody heard of Fanny? Fanny Crosby, great. She was from New York. She lived from 1820 to 1915. And there are two notable things about Fanny Crosby that she is remembered for. First, she wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. Can you imagine that? The second thing that she's remembered for is the fact that she was blind. 95 years she lived and never saw. Can you imagine that? In the end, Fanny would never receive the physical healing that Bartimaeus did in our passage, yet she, along with so many millions of others, did receive the spiritual healing that all disciples do receive. Because when a person comes to Jesus in faith, believing in who he is, that he died on the cross to forgive them of their sins, that he rose from the dead, defeating death, we ask him for his mercy, his forgiveness, and his grace, then that person receives brand new life by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." A person is born again by the Spirit of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, and that begins the spiritual healing from the disease of sin, which slowly but surely, as God's Spirit works in us and through us, it makes us less and less like the old self and more like the new self, conforming us into the image of Christ the Son, so that as the Spirit works in us, we see more and more fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't we want to be more like that? Don't we want to see more and more people? Doesn't our world need more and more people who have more and more of that, who look more and more like Jesus? And while this change takes time and it's an ongoing battle and the victory over sin comes incrementally, bit by bit over time, temptations come and we may fall back. Nevertheless, by the Spirit of God, we have received spiritual healing. We've been set free. You know, earlier we sang Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free, for God, my Savior, has ransomed me. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you believe in him, if you've asked for his mercy, then you've received the healing that he provides by his Spirit, which will enable you to overcome sin through his sanctification. In this way, disciples are healed by Jesus. So just as Bartimaeus was healed physically, we can be healed spiritually. That's the third thing. And finally, I'm going to read verse 52 again. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now I want to draw your attention to the word "way" here. This word is the Greek word "hodos," which can mean way or road or path. And it usually has that literal meaning. Like here, Bartimaeus is following Jesus on the way or the road or the path leading from Jericho to Jerusalem. He's leading him on the path. And while you wouldn't know it from the English text here, this is actually the second time that Mark has used this word in our passage, way, hados. The first time is going back up to verse 46. And I want to go back to that with you for a second, because it says in verse 46, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Okay? And a better way to translate that would actually be sitting beside the road. And that word road is the same word, hados, the way. So think with me for a second about Bartimaeus' position. At the beginning of our passage, Bartimaeus is sitting beside the way. And at the end of our passage, Bartimaeus is following Jesus on the way. You see the transition and change from a blind beggar on the side of the road to a seeing follower of Jesus along the road. So Jesus comes to him, and here's what happens. Number one, he believes in Jesus, that he's truly the Messiah, the Son of David. Number two, he begs for mercy from Jesus, requesting the restoration that nobody else can give him. Number three, he receives that healing from Jesus, having sight, having once been blind. So that now, look where he ends up in verse 52, he's following Jesus on the way. And did you know that the way would become a way that the disciples would describe themselves in the book of Acts? It would become a shorthand for saying the Christian movement. Those who follow Jesus would become known as the way. Well, Bartimaeus here has just joined the group. See, this encounter didn't just change Bartimaeus' physical condition. It changed his purpose in life. Do you see that? And his new purpose now is to follow Jesus. It's to go where Jesus goes. It's to do what Jesus does. It's to see what he sees and to become like he is. He is now a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I saw a beautiful illustration of this recently. It was actually last weekend. Last weekend, the Smith family was here. You guys met the Smith family. We had a great time with them at International Sunday in the lunch, and he delivered a wonderful sermon for us. Before that Sunday, I got to meet Joshua and spend some time with him, and we went for a walk together, and at one point, we sat down on a bench by a little pond or lake, and we continued our conversation. And you know what there was? There was a bunch of geese, of all things. Canada geese, and it's springtime. You know that many of these geese have just had their babies. And there was a group of these baby geese, about six or seven of them, and their two parents, and they were all in a little huddle. And then they decided to go for a little swim. And so mama geese goes into the pond, and sure enough, all six of those little geese follow right behind her, one in a row, never trying to get more than a few inches away from her. And those little geese are following their mom. They're going exactly where she goes. If she turns to the left, they're going to turn to the left. And if she turns to the right, they're going to turn to the right. And if she goes to eat something, they're going to eat it. And if she goes to avoid something, they're going to avoid it. And they're going to take their cues from Mama Goose because they are following her. They are learning from her. They are disciples of her. And I even said to Joshua, look at those disciples right there. What can we learn from little baby geese about discipleship? It's following the discipler, in this case, their mom. And in our case, and in Bartimaeus' case, our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, where are you today with respect to this way of Jesus? Are you sitting beside the way, like Bartimaeus was? Are you perhaps taking a completely different way? Maybe going against the way of Jesus. Or maybe going just in a different direction from him. Or are you on the way of Jesus? Are you following him? Are you seeking to learn from him and do as he does and think how he thinks and act how he would have acted? Are you seeking to honor him and glorify him with your life? Because that's what Bartimaeus did. He became a follower of Jesus. So, Grace, I want to conclude today by kind of just summarizing where we've been with Bartimaeus. What we've learned about discipleship from Bartimaeus, it's actually four B's, okay? Four B's for Bartimaeus. Hopefully this will be memorable. Number one, believe in Jesus. Bartimaeus believed in Jesus, the real Jesus. Who is the Jesus you're believing in? And where do you get the information about him? Do you get it from his word? Do you get it from culture? Do you get it from yourself? Do you believe in Jesus? Number two, he begged for mercy from Jesus. Have you come to Jesus, realized your need before him, and asked for his mercy? Number three, be healed by Jesus. Have you experienced his grace, knowing that, again, going back to that old hymn, my chains are gone, I've been set free, for God my Savior has ransomed me. Have you known and experienced that liberating feeling as the chains drop off, and you now know you're not perfect, but you can, in fact, honor the Lord your God with your life? And number four, become a follower of Jesus. Are you on the road with him? And if not, how's it going? How's that road going apart from Jesus? And could there be more? Do you want more? You won't find it apart from him. Come to him in faith today, and let's begin this way of discipleship together. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Bartimaeus and his testimony. Thank you for Mark, who recorded this story for us. And thank you most of all, Lord God, for sending your son Jesus to this world to go to the cross, to lay down his life and give it up for a ransom for many. I pray, Lord, that you would help us turn to you in faith today. That we would acknowledge who Jesus is, that he is our Savior, that he is our Lord, that we would confess our need for your mercy and grace, and that we would know the healing that comes by being born again by the Spirit of God and follow him on the way. We thank you, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name, amen.